If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Blockbuster Blake, sponsored by JeffBuysYourHouse.com. Hello, Blake. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning, John. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Thanks for helping us out all week long. Dean's back Monday, so is Bob Surratt, and the listeners shall rejoice. But one more day with me and you, my friend. And I thought this was so interesting, and I'm glad you're mentioning it. This entertainment story about Anna Gasteyer and her connection to the Carter family. She revealed it on a podcast. Walk us through these details. This story is fascinating.
Yeah, so Anna Gasteyer, who, if anyone is not familiar, is a Saturday Night Live alumnus. She's also a very accomplished musician and singer, was appearing on the Las Culturistas podcast and described how she had, as a child, and like in her middle school days, had spent a lot of time at the White House and then had also traveled to Camp David. Obviously, she had ties to the Carter family. She was, even at that young age, like an accomplished violinist, and played her violin for the Sadat family.
That's insane. So she was friends with Jimmy Carter's daughter, Amy, and so she had gotten close to the Carter family, and she was at Camp David during the Camp David Accords.
Yeah. Now, imagine you're a middle schooler, and you're just hanging out with your friend, not realizing history's going on, like, three rooms over. And then later that night, it's like, hey, did you bring your violin? I mean, that's just a wild sort of, like, childhood story. But then also the access that she had on top of that, like, she sat in and watched, I guess, Star Wars with the Sadat family, which for, to have your first, like, encounter with Star Wars be that, to me, is just incredible. And then I guess, like, even so, like, even still, like, because she would hang out at the White House, she watched Jimmy Carter watch Dan Aykroyd played Jimmy Carter on Saturday Night Live.
No way.
And apparently he had like a great sense of humor about it. Like he would laugh and actually find it funny, which of course, like, you know, the man recently passed away. He was 100 years old and his legacy post-presidency is immense. But just to know that he was at the, you know, the most powerful man in the world, but also could still laugh at himself. It kind of warms the heart a little bit even more about his legacy and who he was as a person. So, yeah, this interesting connection of this person we know who is famous, grew up around these immense historical moments, but then also had, like, really heartwarming things to say about what was otherwise, like, a very tense time. I found that amusing.
Yeah, what an interesting connection. Anna Gasteyer, who, she was originally in Wicked, too, right on Broadway. She originated that role, right? Am I right there?
She did not originate, but she did play on Broadway in Wicked, among many other things. She's had a very successful stage career post-Saturday Night Live. So, I mean, this is one of those things where, like, I'm sure our listeners are like, I know that name, yeah. But it could be from any number of different things because she has such a wide array of talents. So, yeah.
That's cool. I love that story. A young person in the White House, Amy Carter, has friends, obviously. Imagine sleepovers at the White House. Boy, that'd be fun.
You could so easily get lost, I would think, right? Yeah.
Like, well, maybe not nowadays. You know. Maybe Secret Service would politely guide you back to the residence if you went wandering around the building. John Hansen here, in for Bob Surratt, Blockbuster Blake over there, in for Dean Richards. And, Blake, we've been chatting about the oldest thing that you own. Not to put you on the spot, but does anything come to mind from maybe your grandpa or something that has been passed down through family lore that you have possession of, perhaps?
Yeah, when my grandfather passed away, I had requested that I get his chair. His chair with the ottoman that came with it, and I still have that to this day. He's been gone 10 years this year. But I remember as a kid, this was a chair that was, like, reupholstered at some point. But, like, it is the chair that was there when I was pretty much a little tyke running around the house. So, yeah, that's the oldest thing I own.
Okay.
That I can think of.
That's cool. Back to entertainment news, which is why we brought you here. Tom Holland was Spider-Man, or at least one of them, right? And he's not going to be in movies. He's the current Spider-Man? There's been a lot of Spider-Men, so.
There have.
And so he's done with movies now? What's going on?
No, No, he's not done. He's been doing a round of interviews, podcast appearances, some web-based shows, and being a bit more candid about, you know, life and what he sees his career trajectory turning into in the next few years. He is currently cast in Christopher Nolan's next film, which will be a big epic telling of the Odyssey. You know, Homer's The Odyssey.
Oh, I thought the Spider-Man Odyssey. Okay, no, something else.
Yeah, and then after that, I believe he is still under contract to do one more Spider-Man film. And then it's a question mark from then on. I mean, he could also maybe do some things in between those two films. But the idea is that he's been sort of open to the idea of once he has children, once he becomes a father, and in his mind settles down, he wants to back away. He wants to leave it all on the table. And I think this might shock people who are big fans of Spider-Man. It might, you know, shock people who are excited to see him in The Odyssey. But I think it should be very much noted that he's been performing since he was a child. He was actually one of the young boys who played Billy Elliot on Broadway from 2008 to 2010. And while he did not win a Tony or anything, the production did. And he's been acting consistently ever since. And he's about 28 now, I think. So this is him just sort of hopefully calling his shot, I think, the way he sees it, where he's like, you know, I've had a great career, but I also want to go and you know, sort of leave this behind and the circus of Hollywood and live a life.
28-year-old announcing their retirement. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his retirement
in the future.
Ahead of his retirement. Yeah, it's a very
odd we'll see.
Way to do it, but we'll see what happens, yeah. But he's also, you know, opened up about other things, like the fact that he's done set visits with Zendaya, who is his girlfriend, long-term girlfriend. And, you know, just sitting and watching her work, he's been sort of taking it in about what this is all like, as opposed to being there on the day to work. And I think he's starting to appreciate the idea of maybe one day I don't have to do this. And since he's worked for so long and he's had such success, let's be real, John, like, the money's not the thing. It's the creative passion. And if it shifts toward family, who's to say you can't respect that? That's something.
Yeah, kids are expensive, though. We'll see when he gets back to work when he has his first couple. Where are we in the Spider-Man world? I feel like there's been 12 of these movies.
So there have been. I'm going to lose count, but there are 3 Spider-Men in the modern era, like since the year 2000: Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and now Tom Holland. One of the most recent films, which was, I believe, No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home, they had all 3 of them in the same movie due to the multiverse implications going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I know, John, I'm probably speaking Greek to you in some respects, but just follow me here. By the end of the film, there had been a massive event narratively that had sort of put everybody back where they should be, but it put his character in a spot where no one had ever heard of him, including his loved ones. So it's a big question mark about where he's going from here on out. And that's why there's supposed to be a 4th film, but we don't know when that's going to materialize exactly.
For sure. Ruth texted in. She wanted to know, who were we talking about slept in the White House? Who was it again, Blake?
Anna Gasteyer from the 90s Saturday Night Live and then Broadway and other things. But Anna Gasteyer is her name.
Oh, and the 708 says Tom Holland wasn't on Broadway. It was West End, Blake. How dare you?
Was it West End? I thought he did transfer to Broadway. My mistake. Hey, this is the thing. I'm always happy to be corrected on things like this. This is like what's bouncing around in my memory at this point. But I remember him being in Billy Elliot consistently. So, yeah, West End, which arguably is a tougher audience.
Yeah, there you go.
To be honest.
All right.
Good call.
January, probably slow at the box office. Is there anything they're trying to make percolate to try and make some more money here this month?
Well, there's going to be a lot of holiday holdovers. So the big stuff that was rocking through December, so think Wicked, Sonic 3, Mufasa the King, Nosferatu, all those films are going to continue to run, and they're probably going to continue to make good money. But there are a few things, particularly Lee Whannell's Wolfman, which is a modern take, not so much a remake, on the Universal classic monster film, The Wolfman. This is also the guy who did The Invisible Man right before COVID, which was a big success, and also not only commercially, I think, but critically as well. So him taking on another one of those properties, the take looks different. It looks interesting, and I think that there's plenty of interest there. That'll be coming out here on January 17th, And then for me, though, January is all around Den of Thieves 2 Pantera. This is a sequel that I never thought we'd get to a movie that I could not have been more entertained by, starring Gerard Butler and O'Shea Jackson Jr. So there's a couple of big releases this month. There are things that are going to just kind of roll over for the holidays, and then we're going to rev up the year. But right now, the box office is going to look, I think, pretty decent for January.
What's the awards calendar like? Because now we're going to start looking back at 2024. Yeah. I know Oscars are later, but like, what's the lineup here of the big things people look forward to?
So this Sunday, the Golden Globes will air, and Nikki Glaser will be hosting, which means it'll be the more lighter awards show to kind of kick off the awards season formally. Then you're going to have the SAG Awards, the Directors Guild Awards, the Writers Guild Awards. The big thing, though, will be the Oscars. That'll be in the beginning of March. But the nominations will drop on the 17th. And I think another thing to note about January box office is that once those, and February for that matter, once those nominations drop, a lot of the limited releases that came out near the end of 2024 for Oscar consideration, they will have a more wider release and select, and I don't want to say select cities, but they'll sort of roll out and be more accessible to audiences, not just around the major metropolitan areas.
And are we anticipating, they do like 10 Best Picture nominations now these days, right?
They do up to 10. So they've done 9, they've done 8, but 10 is sort of the max that they can go. And it's been that way since, I believe, 2009. So
if you had to guess.
Tom Holland was still on the West End.
Yeah.
That's when they changed it, yeah.
If you had to guess, what's winning Best Picture from 2024? I know I'm putting you on the spot early before nominations are even out, but hey, we got a minute and a half left. You tell me.
I think it's a movie I haven't even seen yet, but the general buzz around it is screaming that it's going to take some big awards leading up to the Oscars, which is going to give it more momentum, and that is Brady Corbett's The Brutalist.
The Brutalist? I never even heard of it.
It's about, I think it's almost 3.5 hours long.
Boom.
It was shot on film. It's an A24 film, so obviously it's going to have a certain look, a certain style, but it's about an architect and his wife leaving post-World War II Europe and coming to the United States and then launching a sort of, in America, an architectural revolution of sorts because of one big wealthy client. So it's going to be a very deeply layered drama. Starring Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, and Guy Pearce. This is a movie that was getting a lot of buzz after the festival circuit toward the end of the year last year. And anyone who has seen it has talked about how it's one of their favorite films of the year. I think there could also be some crazy moves depending on how, again, the Directors Guild Awards shape up and the SAG Awards. But something like Conclave could take home some statues on Oscar night. But right now, if I was going to, you know, just throw out a random prediction for a movie I haven't even seen, knowing there could be 10 nominees, The Brutalist is one of those movies where I'm like, that's the type of movie the Oscars wants to elevate to Best Picture.
That's interesting. That plot sounds awesome. I absolutely would go see that. I'm sure Dean talked about it, too. But Blockbuster Blake, we're out of time. I appreciate you filling in all week. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. I hope you guys have had a great start to the new year, and I look forward to my next appearance.
Yeah, we'll have you on soon here on one of these shows. You always pop on with Landecker, too. We appreciate that.